John chapter 7. John 7, we'll begin in verse 2. It says, "Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou doest these things, show thyself to the world." For neither did his brethren believe in him. They were giving our Lord instruction on how to increase his earthly ministry. I said, "You just lost 5,000 people. Get out there, buddy." That's what they're telling. Why would they say such a thing to the Almighty God? Verse 5 says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." And Jesus said unto them, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. It's not time for the world to see me, but boy, they're seeing you. You want to be seen of men? It's happening right now. The world cannot hate you. Nobody can really get you with what you believe and who you believe because you don't believe nothing." That's what he's telling them. "The world can't hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto the feast." Go on. "I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. He hid himself. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. Some said, He's a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceived the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews." Because of a fear of religious folks, nobody would stand on their hind two legs and take a stand. They kept their mouth shut. "Well, I ain't going for or against. Let them have it." No man spake openly. But they'd ask a question. The Jews wanted to know, where is he? Where is he? They were looking for him. Where is he? That's a good question. That's the title of my message this evening. Where is he? Where is he? That ain't complicated, is it? There's some things a friend of mine was talking to today. He said, "I want to get to the point." I mean, he was talking about that. And he said, "The point of my message was propitiation." And he said, "If I titled my message that," he goes, "most people don't know what that means, and a good handful of believers don't know what that means." He said, "How could I say it in a way that people would pay attention? I want them to get it." And I thought, the title had to be, "Where God Meets Sinners." That gets the point across, don't it? That's the mercy seat. That's where a holy God's going to meet sinners that sinned against Him. Where there's blood. Where there's an accepted bloody sacrifice. A propitiation. I want a simple title. Where is He? Where is He? Where is God? Where is God? You want to know? That's a common question. And that's a good question. I want to open the door for whosoever. I hope I can place this in a way that all people ask this and all people can hear it. I want to cast the net wide. And then I want to give the answer to that question. Where is God? Where is He? And I want to tell you the answer. That's good news. I wrote down good news, and then I put great news, and then I put wonderful news, and then I underlined it. This is good. So what if somebody come to you and said, "Where's God? Where's your God?" You need an answer for that, don't you? What if you ask that question? What if I ask that question? You'll want an answer to it. You'll need an answer to it. Who are those that ask, "Where's God?" The first one are those that want to kill Him. Those that are against Him. Throughout the Scriptures, all those were seeking Him that they could devour Him, that they could kill Him. At that pool of Bethesda we just looked at recently. It says, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. Where is he at? I'm going to kill him. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. He had broken their religious traditions. And he's going to kill him. Where is he at? Where's God? We're going to kill him. They don't know he's God. Where is he? Here in our text, where is he? We're at this feast. We want to find him. Where's he at? Those that want to tangle him in his words. Those that have some sort of, try to find some type of perverted proof that they could have to give him guilt and kill him. They won't have any, but they sought to entangle him in his words. Where is he? Where is he? You know, this isn't new. This wasn't, well, he went into the public ministry. He began that ministration, and now there's a little bit of troubled waters. This was from birth. Herod said that, didn't he? When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. We always think of Herod being that mad, bad king, isn't it? What did God say? And all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered together the chief priests and scribes, the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Where is he? I'm the boss. I want to know. Where is he? He wanted to kill him. Why? He wanted to go to war with him. There are people who want to go to war with the Holy God. Where is he? We want to go to war with him. We will not have this man to reign over us. Where is he? We're going to kill him. We're going to fight him. What are you preaching down there? I don't want to hear that. You quit saying that, we're going to prove you wrong. You're going to fight God? Be careful. The Lord's a man of war. The Lord is his name. We just read that in Exodus 15 the other day, didn't we? I want to tell those people that want to go to war with God, I want to tell them where he is. They want to know where he is to slay him, and I want to warn them. I want to warn those enemies of God where God is. And then there's those that want to analyze him. Those that want to dissect him and maybe use him for their own good. What type of theological standpoint can I have with this man? Can I take him apart? Can I explain this to the point where you've got to have a thesaurus to go to church with? Can that be of my benefit? Can I feed my own bellies? We saw it in John 6. Those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, this is of truth. This is a prophet that should come into the world. This is him. Where is he? When Jesus therefore perceived they would take him by force to make him king. Where is he at? We're going to make him king. He's going to be our doctor. He's going to be our accountant. We need him. Where is he? He departed again into a mountain himself alone. Where is he? We're going to put him to work for us. We're going to enslave him. The one who led captivity captive. They won't put him in a box and use him for their own good, isn't it? I want to tell those people where he is. I want to warn them. I want to warn them. Where is he? We're going to make him king. I want to warn you. I'll tell you just where he is. And maybe for those that want to analyze him and dissect him and take him apart, and those that want to deceitfully use him, and those that seek to kill him, maybe that's the ones that our Redeemer prayed for. While he was on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And as he said that, they parted his raiment and cast lots. And then what happened? The people stood beholding as the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the Christ, the chosen of God. God saved some of those people. Some of those that sought to kill him with their own wicked hands. Some of those that sought to use him. He prayed for those that despitefully used him. That deceitfully used him. And he saved some of them. He saved some of them. I want to tell those people, all men and women, where he is. Then, there are those that are in desperate need. There's those that want to kill him. Those that want to just use him up for their own sinful lust and their own benefit. And then there's those that are truly in desperate need. There's those that truly cry out to God out of necessity. Need of salvation. They need him. But those actively crying, I desperately want to tell them where he is. I want to tell the other ones. I want to warn them. I would that all men would be saved. But those that need him, if I could find somebody, that's so hard to find. If I could find somebody that truly needed a Savior today, that needed a king, needed a shepherd, that needed peace, I want to tell them where he is. Where he is means a lot. Job asked this question. You know, great believers have asked this. This ain't something you get over. You don't ask this one time and then, well, I got saved back in... This ain't a whole-term life policy or whatever. This ain't in church. This happens. And then this keeps happening. And you know what's going to happen again? You're going to be wallowing in your sin so bad you won't speak to nobody. And you're going to cry out to God because you need Him. If you don't, you don't need Him. People say, well, you get above that. No, you don't. That's a lie. God's people did. What did Job do? God said Job was righteous, didn't he? And Job said, behold, I go forward. He ain't there. I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where doth he work? Where is he? But I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right, and I cannot see him. Job cried out, where is he? Where is he? Those sitting there just mocking him and being mean to him. He said, where is God? And the heavens were silent during that whole trial. God hadn't spoke to him. David asked this too. We read these Psalms. Primarily, the Psalms are Christ speaking. They're all messianic Psalms. If we don't see that, then it ain't been revealed to us yet. But we can't forget, men wrote this. Asaph wrote a bunch of them. David wrote them. A human went through this to experience it to tell us. What did David write? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I am not silent. Great King David called out, where are you? You who are suffering and need the Lord our peace. Where is he? I want you to know where he is. And then those that are saved, just like Job and David, those that God has worked to grace in their heart, they're secure and they are grateful for what God's done for them. They want to be more thankful. They want to be more grateful. When they're in that season, and it goes up and down, but when they're in that season, they want to worship Him. They want to worship Him. These are the type of the brethren that ask the same question too. There in Matthew 1, before Herod demanded where he was. It says, now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Those wise men came saying, where is he? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Where is he at? I'm going to worship him. Where is he at? Those Greeks, they came to the feast and they came there to worship, and they went to Philip. And they said, they desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Where is he? Those that want to kill him, where is he? Those that want to use him, where is he? You who've never known him, or you're just in the pit of despair, you want to know where he is? And you who are thankful right now, I know it. I know God. I know where he is. I know where he's going to be. I want to worship him. I want to know where he is. Do you want to know that? I ask you, what type of person are you? There's just a handful of people in this room. And maybe somebody listening to this down the road. Maybe it affects somebody tonight. Maybe it'll affect somebody 100 years from now. I don't know. Which one are you? You want to kill him? You want to fight with him? You want to argue over his word? You want to use him up? Do you want him to save you? You need mercy? Or you want to thank him for mercy he's already given you? I want you to know where he is. It's important to know where he is. People say, well, he's in the Word. Right, he is. What did our Lord tell those? He said, you read these scriptures and in them you think you have life. You memorize scripture and you think by memorizing scripture and quoting a bunch of scripture. I get people quoting, they find out I'm a preacher, and they start quoting scripture, and it's erroneous as all get out. And I just like, do I have time to fix it? You got 7 hours? That's wrong. Ain't no life in that. What did that eunuch say? Where is he? I'm reading this. Is there a Savior in these scriptures? I'm just reading about this sheep that's going to go get a haircut. And he said, I can't understand unless some man show me. Philip said, slide over, buddy. I'm going to show you who this is about. Those two of the road of Emmaus, our Lord spoke to them. And he didn't just give them facts about the old Testament. He didn't just give them a doctrine about it. He didn't give them a standpoint to have when they read it. A standpoint don't save nobody. A person does. He revealed Himself in the Scriptures. He showed Himself. It's a person that saves. This is His Word. It's about Him from Genesis to Revelation. Singular. He's the revelation, isn't He? He's the living Word. And if it's not revealed, it's in vain. It's vain repetition to sit down and read your Bible every day. It's religion. It's over superstition. Without Him, it's nothing. Well, He was on the cross. How was He on the cross? He was in this world first, didn't He? I missed that. He was in the world. Do we look to the world to find Him? To where He is? He was here. He was made like us. What a gift that is. But the world knew Him not. The world knew Him not. I thought about that Mary sitting there going to the temple, praying to the Almighty God with the Almighty God in her belly. Imagine that. Talk about in the world. He was in her, wasn't He? Do we look to this world? Do we worship a woman that He came into? Well, do you no good. He ain't there, is He? In this world, He went to a cross. This is where that great payment for sin took place. Where the Holy Father turned His back on His only begotten Son that He loved. Because of the sin of His people. Because of the guilt was laid on Him. That's what took place on that cross. This whole world was dark for 3 hours. Because God can't be in the presence of sin so much that when my sin was on His Son, He forsook Him. That's what happened on the cross. But He ain't there now. He ain't on that cross. Where's God? He ain't there now. Well, go home, take all your crucifixes and throw them in the garbage. Take them fish off your bumper stickers. It's nonsense. It's hocus pocus. You play in church and you want others to see it. It's self-righteousness. He ain't there. You need Him? He went to the tomb. People try to find Him where He was buried. Our Lord was buried. He went into the ground. He laid down His life. And I got to think about this. Think of those fools that natural man worship. What about Buddha? You can find where Buddha's buried. What about Muhammad? That infidel. He's buried in a place, isn't he? People go walk circles around it every year. Kim Jong-il. They thought he was a god in North Korea. He's buried somewhere. He's got shrines. All those Japanese emperors and stuff who thought there's half king and half god. There's a place there's buried. You can go lay down flowers. They're all dead. And they all have a grave you can go visit. This man. Not the living God of heaven and earth. His tomb's empty. Where is He? He ain't in that tomb. He's risen. Where is God? Turn over to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Those that want to kill Him, those that want to use Him, those that want to cry out to mercy to Him, and those that want to thank Him for mercy and grace given. Where is He? I want to tell you. I want to tell men and women everywhere where God is, but I don't want you to take my word for it. I could be wrong. What if I told you what I think? Don't matter what I think. What about some of them old dead fellas? I love dearly. We'll probably rejoice with them in glory. Do you want me to tell you what they think? It don't matter what they think if you need mercy. Don't matter, does it? Would you take the word of a king? Would you take the word of a man after God's own heart? Would you believe him? Would you believe him? King David. Here's a two-edged sword of the Holy Spirit speaking through David. Here's the answer of where God is exactly to those that want to kill Him, those that want to use Him, those that want to cry out for mercy, and those that want to thank Him. Here's the answer. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Wherefore, should the heathen say, where is now their God? Why would a heathen ask, where's their God? Those haters, those manipulators, those accusers ask, where's your God? Where's your God? Y'all have heard this illustration. I know I'm going to use it again. That one fellow had lost his son. A preacher went to him. He was in the presence of him. And he's trying to comfort him. And he's going to tell him where God was. And he just couldn't get it out. And the man interrupted in his pain and his sorrow. And he told that preacher, he said, "Where was God when my son died?" You dealt with somebody in so much pain as that? That wise preacher looked at him and said, "The same place he was whenever his son died on his throne." That ain't changed. Never has. Ruling and reigning all things. Right where he's always been. Where is he? Where's God? Verse 3, Psalm 115:3. "But our God is in the heavens. Yes. He hath done whatsoever he pleased." That's really important. You want to fight the Lord? He's in the heavens. You can't get to him. I recommend you bow. You want one humble man's opinion? Bow to him. Bow. You want to use him? You can't. He's in the heaven. He's above you. You can't manipulate him. You want to mock him and his people and his word? He's coming again. Our brother read that to us. He's coming again. And in the last days, scoffers, they're going to walk after their own lust, saying, "Where's the promise of his coming?" You've been saying, "He's coming. Where's he at? Where's he at?" Ever since our great-grandpappy fell asleep, he ain't come since then. Ever since the creation, everything's going the same. We're giving him marriage and taking marriage. Just like before the flood. When's he coming? They scoffed, didn't they? You need to cry to one who can save you. This is good news. That's a warning to those that want to kill him. That's a warning to those that want to use him. You can't. He's in the heavens. But to you that need to cry out for mercy, this is wonderful, great news. He's in the heavens. You want to truly worship him? Truly. This is wonderful news. He is on his throne. He's not in a tomb. He's not still trying to pay a debt he couldn't pay. It's paid. He's not hoping and wishing and wringing his hands he could do something for you and more people would just pretty please be saved. No, he's on his throne. He's in the heavens. He's never abdicated his throne. We had a king over in England did that back in the early 1900s. He's going to become king right before he chickened out and he quit. He said, "Well, I ain't going to do it. I'll make my brother do it." This one has it. He's never left his throne. He's on it now. He's in the heavens. And he's done whatsoever he has pleased. Whatever's pleased him. Whatever made him happy, that's what he did. What does that mean, he's in the heavens? I hope we can enter into that. It displays his majestic sovereignty. That's what that does. It shows he's an omnipotent God. We have a mighty Air Force, don't we? There's a fellow I used to work for. He always spoke about, y'all seen him on the news, air-to-ground integration. If you rule the skies, you rule the ground. If you rule both, you rule everything. He's in the heavens. You get that? He's ruling everything. Psalm 135 says, "For I know the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that he did in the heaven, and in the earth, and in the seas, and in all deep places." He's above. He's in the heavens and he's ruling. That great king Nebuchadnezzar said that. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. You ain't nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. We don't even know. What's that? Can you tell me about the army of heaven? I ain't seen it. He rules it. There is one. He rules it. And among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand. And none can say unto him, "What are you doing? What doest thou?" Where is he? He's in the heavens. What's that mean? He's all powerful over all things. He rules and reigns on a throne of teetotal absolute authority. He's a potentate. He's the only authority there is. He's not a authority, he's the authority. Second, he's in the heavens. He's omniscient. He knows all. There in Isaiah 55 reads, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him return to the Lord and he'll have mercy on him and to our God for he will abundantly pardon." Does that make sense to you? The one we offended? Run away, don't run to it. Oh, not our nature, run away, wouldn't it? Why would he do these things? He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth." Here's the illustration. He qualifies what he just said. He don't think the way we think. His ways ain't the way we'd do it. Why? Because the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. He knows all things. We don't know what we don't know. We think we know everything, and we tell everybody and open our mouth and spew out nonsense, and we don't know nothing. We're worms. He knows all. Higher than the heavens is the earth. It's so wise for Him to be in the heavens. I thought about that. A friend of mine says, I scribbled down some notes this evening, and it's above us. He's in heaven. He's above us. That dictates everything on this earth. All of our warmth comes from the heavens, isn't it? We can see it. Go outside and see the sun. That's where our warmth comes from. Where's the rains going to come from? After sin, before that, rain, the water, earth was watered from underneath the ground. Now it comes from the heavens, don't it? We have to be watered by Him. We have to have sun from Him. The tides are controlled by what hangs in the heavens, isn't it? The stars are in the heavens. That's how we navigate ships. That's where life comes from. Spiritual life comes from Him. That's where it originates. He's in the heavens. All power, all knowing and wise, and He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. We read in Acts 17, God that made the world and all things therein seeth that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands. If I could get that through some people's hands. You go to a church house and they think God's there because they went. That's it. That's a fancy building. Did you see a big archway? That one place up here I thought was Costco for 6 months. Big fancy buildings, isn't it? Where is He? He's not in a special day. He ain't there. He's not in a building made with hands. He ain't there. He's not in an organization or a denomination just pretty please waiting for you to show up. He's in the heavens. That's where He is. Solomon was going to build a church building, and we ought to do the best we can. That's where God meets with us. That's where He's chose to gather two or three in His name. We'll give it all we got to make His place nice. We ought to. When we clean, we ought to clean as hard as we can. Make sure garbage is took out. Solomon said, the house which I built is great, for great is our God above all gods. If this is where He's going to meet with us, sweet before He gets here. Let's dust it down. But He went on to say, but who is able to build a house for Him? Can you build Him a house? Seeing the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him. You going to put Him in a box? Put Him in a box and call it a house? Who am I then that I should build Him a house save only to burn sacrifice before Him? Why do we do this? So we can entrap God as a snare? No, we come here to burn sacrifice, to thank Him for His Son that laid down His life for us. Come to worship Him. The Lord tells us in His Word He will meet with us on the mercy seat. Christ, that's who it is, the propitiation. He's going to meet where that blood sacrifice was accepted. That's the only place He'll meet with us. That's where I want to be. I want to be in Him. That's where the Lord will meet with me. He said also in the Scriptures, He says where He's gathered two or three, in the midst of them, I'll be with them. That's where I want to be. Almighty God of heaven and earth that is in the heavens. Where is He? He's in the heavens. He said, where I've gathered two or three, I'll be in the midst of it. You want to be there? Or you want to go roller skating? What if I can't get there? What if I can't? His providence won't allow me to be where He is. He says, lo, I am with you always. Now, how could He be with me always? That's our feeble minds, isn't it? Brother Angus Fisher, there's saints way that way in Australia. And there's some over on the other side of that other pond, over in England. There's some down in Papua New Guinea, and Alaska, and Mexico. And there's some in Russia. There's some in Ukraine right now. God has somebody in Ukraine. How can He be with all of them at once? He's in the heavens. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, isn't He? David said, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, you're there. If I descend, make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. That's good news. I feel so alone sometimes. I mean alone. God, as Your mercy's clean gone. He can't make it to me. Yes, he can. He's in the heavens. Where is he? He's in the heavens. He can go anywhere he wants. They can't contain him. This omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God is holy. He's holy. Ecclesiastes 5:1 says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest in the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of a fool." For they consider not that they do as evil. They don't think what they're doing is wrong. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou on earth. That's who he is. That's whose presence we're coming into. High and lifted up. The year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah wrote, "I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims, each having six wings, and twain covered his face, and twain covered his feet, and twain did he fly, and one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Where is he? He's in heaven doing whatsoever he pleases. I ask you another question. You okay with that? That's a double question, isn't it? Some people chop my head off. No! Lies! And the Lord's people say, "Amen, yes." That's exactly what, I'm thankful he's there. Where is he? He's in the heavens. Wonderful. He's ruling and reigning on his throne as he always has. And what's he doing there? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. We know he rules there. We know he sees everything. We know he knows everything. What's he doing in the heavens? He's making intercession for his people. Us that are here. Us that are still trapped in this body of death. God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, makes intercession for his people. There's three appearances here in Hebrews 9 of Christ. It says in verse 24, Hebrews 9, 24. "For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true." That's just a picture here on this earth. That physical mercy seat. He ain't physically there in that thing over in the Middle East. That was a type. That was a picture. He's went into the holy places in heaven. "But unto heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us." Where is he? He's appeared in the presence of God for us. How is he representing us to the Father? How is that possible? Whenever those men in our text ask, "Where is he?" He was on this earth, wasn't he? Look at the end of verse 26. How is it possible for him to maintain right now in the presence of God for us? Verse 26. "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared." Where is he? "He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Where is he? He came here and he sacrificed himself, didn't he? Where is he? After that sacrifice. Well, that's already took place in our lives. He's in heaven. Present in the presence of God for us. He's our intercessor. He's our high priest. Is it just going to stay that and we're going to go on to worm food? Turn out the lights. Close your eyes. It's all over. Lord's up there. That's it. It's all over. No, there's better news to come. It just gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and better. Where is he? Where's he going to be? Look at the end of verse 24 again. It says, "Now to appear in the presence of God for us." And at the end of verse 28, here's our resurrection. I told you 24. Verse 28. "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear." Where is he? "He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation." He's coming again. Where is he? He's in the heavens. What's he doing? Anything that pleases him. That's great news to me. Why? He's a holy God. He's able and he's holy, and whatever suits him suits me. Lord, your will be done. For those he loves, he's interceding for them right now. And where is he going to be? He's coming again. Yes. He's coming again. Scoffers can scoff. But every one of us will meet the one that made us at some point. It'll happen to everybody. We know that, don't we? We know that. There's an end. There's an end. This is the one we're going to meet. The Almighty God. Where is He? Sitting on His throne right now. While you're alive, bow to Him. Call out for mercy. Run to Him. Seek Him while He may be found. As I said, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call on Him while He's near. How do we call on Him while He's near? He's always with us, isn't He? He's always around. He's in His Word. We have that. His Word's preached. Read His Word. Listen to His Word being preached. Listen to Christ being lifted up. And be around believers where He dwells, where He abides on this earth. Be with Him and call on Him. And Peter said, cast all your care upon Him, for this mighty one. Where is He? He's in the heavens, doing whatsoever He pleases. He careth for you. He, that one, cares for you. And call on Him. Lay your burden to Him. Take it all on Him. Cast it right there. A friend of mine was recently, I spoke to, and he prayed that the Lord would raise up men for the harvest. He said, Lord, we don't see this happening really. Raise up men after Your own heart to go and lead people. And to tell them where God is. Who He is. Who man is. Why we ought to back. And I thought, boy, I pray that too. And I pray the Lord have a revival in this country. And I would that every child of God was a prophet. And 6 hours later, I got a phone call. Somebody thinking about being a pastor, maybe called. It happens. And I prayed for some things. I was telling somebody else before that. There's some things I prayed for earnestly. And I'm shocked. The Lord answered it. That's funny because I'm a fool. Why don't I go to everything with Him? Everything. Oh, He's faithful with me.